You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, Episode 44. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week, we're going to recap our big tournament, and we'll talk briefly about the other big tournaments that happened last weekend.
All right, as you mentioned, we had what we've been talking about the last couple episodes in anticipation of it happening, our Phoenix Tournament, which is our big all-day event that caps the end of each Spatial Rift season here in San Diego. Four tournaments, I guess you could say, for, what was it, 16 rounds of play?
This was a heck of a reason, a heck of a weekend for Star Trek. We had the Continental Championships on in North America and Australia, and this is the biggest event of the year that we have down here. Our turnout was not nearly as good as the 20 and 22 people they had, but we had people coming in from, well, where did Justin come in from? San Francisco for the day to come down and play with us. We had our new player, so we had a full eight for our big main constructed tournament. We had an even six for the draft, the Transwarp draft, and we had another six players for the Slipstream tournament at the end. And despite our recent run of success, or lack thereof, well, the two of us, you and I, actually managed to do pretty well.
Yeah, that was a shock to me as well. I did not have any faith in my decks going into this. Basically came in just looking to have some fun with some experimental goof-off type of decks. And you and I both went, 4-1 in the constructed?
Yeah, yeah. Although my wins were full wins.
Yeah, and even though I beat you, you somehow won the tournament. But that was because a lot of my games timed out, not unexpectedly. So what did you bring, tournament winner?
Well, there was a discussion on the boards the last week or so, maybe 2 weeks ago it started. People were talking about how to beat tragic turn decks, and the subject of Walk the Line came up. Let's see. It looks like, it's got to be someone whose name I can't pronounce. Garrett Jax. Tobias Rausman pointed out that Walk the Line does not actually have to take people from the mission to unstop people. They could be from anywhere. So you have your good folks going out doing the missions, and your one-cause DS9 Fed and DS9 Bajoran people sitting on Deep Space Nine. And if someone is about to get stopped, you pick them up and you throw it on Walk the Line, and they're unstopped. You can do it once per dilemma, because of the when. You can do it once per dilemma because of the when rule. But it worked phenomenally. I combined that with Confessions in the Pale Moonlight and Rite of Emergence. So I had, three hosts plus all the Fed treachery people and this unstopping mechanism. So I was cheating around everything. It was fantastic.
Wow, that's amazing, because that's the deck I almost brought.
I had one extra thing that saved me against that battle deck, Thomas's battle deck. I had runabouts.
Runabouts? How did runabouts save you?
He blew up two of my ships, but I kept dropping another three-cost ship and flying over and trying the mission again or saving my people. It was fantastic. I don't think I've ever used them successfully, but I was running DS9 and all Gamma Quadrant missions, so there's no cost addition, range addition. Most of them don't add one when you go from a headquarters to a non-headquarters, and most of them have a range boost as well. So they were, had reasonable range, and I could get from DS9 to the Gamma Quadrant and sometimes back again in a runabout just as easy. It was fantastic.
See, now I can't play my Walk the Line deck because it's going to look like I just copied you after you won, even though mine was already built. That's okay. I have the anti-kill stuff in there as well as anti-stop instead of the skill shenanigans. So it'll be a slight difference.
Well, and you were the reason you beat me, I think, is you had Sloan on the first turn, so you were destroying pretty much everything I threw out as far as events.
Yeah,
that did not go well. I saw a remarkable lack of event destruction on Saturday versus pretty much all of my opponents. No one really did anything. I think the only reason my events blew up is because I used them.
And ironically, the only reason I have him in there is not to blow up your events, but to blow up mine.
Right. You were also playing DS9.
I was playing DS9 Earth, a deck inspired by a discussion with our main obscure card player in the group, Thomas Weinberg. We had talked about all the replicate events and how we basically thought that they all sucked. And Tom's like, well, you know, the Deep Space Nine one's not too bad. You know, get events back. And, you know, I had good success with that with Deploy the Fleet. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting point. You know, you get, and I wonder what other events that play once and then go away, like Deploy the Fleet, would be useful in situations like that to just keep playing them over and over and over again. And so I developed this sort of monster that the final form was essentially get a couple of staff ships, deploy the fleet a bunch of times with the Deep Space Nine replicate event, transporter buffer, throw an at what cost in there so I can get two turns with it. I usually end up with about 35 points. Come over to a couple of my space missions, actually ended up just doing one 40-point space mission and repeating the sequence of transporter buffer with field studies. So spend about half of those points I just gained by throwing your dilemmas underneath. That was the basic concept of it. And then around that, I built in the Nog equipment shenanigans that you came up with, where you use Sloan to blow up your own event and then use Nog to go download another event so I could always get those events out when I needed them. And since most of the cheap Earth icon commanders and ship combos were past icons, I had the Reliant and Terrell and the Enterprise C with Garrett and even the Kelpo with Krug, and such. I had you know, a good half dozen past icon people floating around, so I could tamper with time and make sure that there were no planets going to surprise me when I tried to do some field studies. Took a long time to set up. Usually was already down a mission or two by the time I did my stuff. But the amount of event destruction was able to slow you down some more. So that I could try and catch up, and then it helped the amount of points I had left over from Deploy the Fleet usually propelled me to a two mission win, or at least gave me enough so that when we timed out, I had more points than you.
So you pretty much did one 40-point space mission, and then depending on how many points you had left over, you could choose which of your planet missions you could do?
Yeah. And I threw in historical research. As much as I hate the fact that that goes in almost every deck, these days, this was admittedly an already cheesy deck, so I figured I might as well use what I need. And because I the only thing I really can't get out is Nog. Nog and Sloan work really well together, but Nog works even by himself. I didn't always need Sloan, but I always need Nog. So that way, I would at least be assured of getting a better chance of getting him if I did need it. And I realized in my last game, in retrospect, I should have gotten Jake. And then Jake could get Nog, and then
whoever else you need.
And then Jake could get Cisco, who was a menace for me. The TOS, you know, the Tribbles Cisco, who can bounce to hand to cancel and interrupt, saved my bacon when people realized what I was up to and tried to cancel it.
So did you not encounter so much event destruction that you couldn't get past it with just Cisco?
I encountered a limited amount of events destruction, and as soon as somebody saw what I was doing, they stopped destroying my events because they didn't want me to benefit off of it.
So is there something you could do to make that deck a little faster?
I was starting to do too. I think I should have taken another week, as you know, because you helped me playtest this about a month ago and slim it down. I took it down from 2 headquarters. I took out the alternate idea of commandeering ship to get the Defiant, the Dominion Defiant, and then not have to face dilemmas at my planet mission either. But it's starting to get pretty slim. I think I could probably trim it down a little bit more. Once I realized I only had to do one mission, it took up less setup. And honestly, I realized in my last game or two that while the transporter buffer was nice for deploy the fleet to keep getting it back, it was not necessary for field studies. At that point, when I get to that point, my machine is already set up enough that instead of, you know, I need to download 3 events. So instead of getting a field studies and a at what cost and a transporter buffer, I could just get 3 field studies. So that could have made it a little bit faster. But I don't feel the need to really play this again now that I played it and it had moderate success.
We had, like I said, we had 8 players show up. It went me, TV, TK, Rogue, Johnny. Odd to see Johnny that far down. Matt, Brian, and Justin are our traveling player.
Yeah.
So, good day overall.
Yeah, and there was some really interesting decks out there. We saw a lot of variety. TK was playing the good old Romulan Prometheus blow up your ships deck. I think he said he blew up like 6 ships in 4 games. I'm bummed I didn't get to play Matt because his deck sounded really, really funny. Using the Interstellar Treaty to play Clag with the Borg and Nerall as well, so that he could interlink Honor and interlink Treachery, and then anything that requires any of those, you know, those two.
So that will prevent any people from being randomly selected by dilemmas? Is that right?
Well, if they require Honor, Treachery, Officer, or Leadership. So no personal duty, no issue of trust.
Wow.
The big stoppers, in those cases, sometimes just straight up stoppers for the Borg because they don't have leadership or they don't have honor. So that sounded like it was a hoot. I would have liked to have seen that or maybe try it in the future. Some infiltrators making their way back into the mix. Some mirror Starfleet.
DS9 Earth, but yeah. It was closer to a straight up solver.
And Johnny came in with the DS or the Dominion power solver, Dominion Ferengi Unholy Alliance.
Yeah,
so big variety all around. It was nice.
After that, we had our a shorter tournament. It's a 3-round event, our Slipstream tournament, where you play to 50 points and 1 mission solved, and whoever gets that first wins. After 30 minutes, it's time is called, it hands down, like the old style of 1E. It makes for a very fast and kind of hectic dropping cards as fast as you can to just get things done before time runs out. I did not do well in this tournament because I tried to play something very similar to what you played in the previous one.
Oh, I was wondering how that went out.
Well, I was playing with Caretaker's Array as an easy mission to solve, and then I had like 7 matching commander pairs that could play at TOS for cheaply. So a couple not aligned, a couple TOS, and just fly out and get a deploy the fleet for, you know, another 30 points. Or play 2 of them for 2 15s. Yeah, it didn't actually ever work. I solved my mission all the time, but I never had the fleet out deployed enough to for the victory.
Mm.
You came in second. What were you playing?
I sat down to make a straight solver since I had used some shenanigans in the past with this format. And I was pulling out all the TNG high integrity folks. And so at some point while I was looking at all those people, I looked at this sort of dream crew. And I had in the past remembered somebody using this as a type of deck. And it gets like super strong beginning, shoots out the gate and gets a big mission right away. And then it just died. I was like, well, I don't have to worry about that. I just need to do the big mission. So it was the concept was 10th anniversary Picard and his Enterprise, Vic Fontaine, Moth the Barber, McCoy, and I threw in a vascular pad just for kicks, and a rats. I'm running a tight ship. So I go out, I attempt with four.
You get two.
You get one less for Mott, one less for rats, and I use Vic. So you get to draw two and spend one.
Yikes.
And just in case you draw something, more or less is going to be one of those, you know, command decisions or, you know, one cost that stops one. That's what the vascular pad is for. So it's supposed to be a little longer setup, one attempt, one solve. And then I got Guinan in there to turn the corner for the 5 points.
And it looks like the only person you lost to was Johnny, who ended up winning the tournament. We are definitely looking forward to the start of the next season. It's going to be down in San Diego. We're going to take kind of the summer off from league events just so we can get synchronized with the official league format. What is it? The World Championship Trek. So we'll be in with everyone else's league, so we'll be able to post our scores to the boards and everything, and we'll see how it goes.
That's all the intelligence we have for you this week. We will offer up our Section 31 congratulations to Mike Harrington for winning the North American Continental Championships and to Lee Clark for winning the Australian Continental Championships.
We hope to have more intelligence about what happened at the Continentals next week, so look forward to that.
And with that, we offer up our customary shout-out to Warp 11. I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And I will once again remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And I will play a copy of all 44 drones in 2E to end. And I will 44 to end. What is 44? I wasn't ready this time. I didn't think we'd ever get past 10, all right? Section 31.